different style, that's how they know that we unique. And making Nike, yeah, that's a turtle, that's the clan, don't play with me. And I would tell you to your face, so don't you come and lie to me. Cause I would tell you face to face, cause I don't play no hide and seek. And if they say that I don't look native, then say goodbye to me. Cause I would look the other way, cause I hate it when they lie to me. They don't look native to me. Well, everything ain't what it seems. Y'all killing our people and killing our dreams with all the lies that you lead. You should be down to your knees, begging to me, cause this is the land of the free. So how can it be that you're talking to me about getting the peace without paying the fee?
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI FM Minneapolis, St. Paul. Online and archived at KFAI.org, the community's true voice.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
Good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, today we're going to have our friend Robert Lilligren on, and then later on, Wendy will give us a live update of what's going on in our next door, friendly state of Wisconsin with what's going on with the Beagles. And as you know, if you were listening to the show yesterday, we had some really good news, and she's got a follow-up for that. And again, we're going to have Robert Lilligren on, and I just want to, we're going to talk about a lot of things, but I want to talk about before he comes on that tomorrow, the 2026 kickoff event, May 1st, American Indian Month. May is American Indian Month in Minnesota. Parade starts at 10 p.m. with the opening prayer and greetings and drum and speakers. Then 10:30 is when the parade steps off. And then 12 p.m. is the announcement of the float contest winners in a lunch at Cedar Field. So we're always really excited for that. It's fun, and a lot of people show up. So if you're in town and if you're around, please stop in and see us at the Cedar. Let me get that again. The Cedar Field in Minneapolis. And so, again, it's fun. We always talk about it's American Indian Month here in Minnesota, but as you know, here on Native Roots Radio, it's always Native American month here. So great things to happen here. You know, we're going to talk a little bit too with Robert about what's going on. But then after that, if you're again locally here in the Twin Cities at the Minneapolis American Indian Center, there's going to be an open house powwow, American Indian Month kickoff. And that's going to start at 4 and at 4 to 9 p.m. on May 1st. So that's happening after the parade, a couple of hours after. If you're anything like me, you're going to have to take a quick nap and check out what's going on with, the back of your eyelids, and then wake up and have a little coffee and then go to the powwow. So exciting here in Minnesota, and again, at the Minneapolis American Indian Center, open house / powwow. And it's just to kick off a beautiful thing, American Indian Month kickoff. And so, again, a lot going on here. One of the things, too, we have our friend Jerry Dearley, who I've known for many, many years, and he is the MC Jerry and I worked together at Harding High School, and he was a Dakota language speaker. And what's really interesting about Jerry, Jerry was also worked at the Red Schoolhouse. And if people don't know about what the Red Schoolhouse was, it's a school that American Indian Movement started in St. Paul, Minnesota in the early 70s. And it was a school for Native American kids. And really a great idea. It was a survival school, and they talk about these things, a survival school, and all. And it was just that, the survival school. So, you know, Jerry has deep, deep roots here in the five-state area, in the Dakotas, and, of course, here in Minnesota. And he will be emceeing, and it's always kind of fun to hear the powwow MCs. And one thing, too, I want to just revert to real quick is anybody's invited to these powwows. Come on, and it's a community celebration. You'll be able to do some things. I'm sure there'll be vendors there. And again, we always talk about this, support our native vendors, to support our workers, our artists, I should say, that are out there, you know, doing their thing, doing their art, and anyone can buy these things. So it's really, it's come support this, and, you know, it's just going to be a beautiful thing. Again, today we're going to have Robert Lilligren on, and then later on, Wendy Pilot. Here, I'll give you kind of a sample, too, of what's going on here in Minnesota. One of the things I wanted to bring up, too, if you are in Minneapolis, to Minneapolis, American Indian Center powwow on May 1st, you can get a free bus ride on Metro, on the Metro line, and that is an amazing thing, and that is an amazing partnership we have with the Met Council and Metro. And so there's a lot of things they can do. Minneapolis American Center, look up Metro Transit and get on there and possibly get a free ride to the powwow. The Metro Transit is providing public transit rides from 4 to 10 p.m. for powwow attendees. So wherever you are, you have no excuse not to be there at the powwow and doing it up in a good way. Say, also, next week, there's going to be some major information coming out, I've heard, from the Circle magazine. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Circle magazine. It's a national magazine that started here in Minneapolis and has been running since 1980. And they have since shut down printing for a month or two, but they're reorganizing, and there's going to be a update on Monday. So that's really, to me, very exciting to see what's going to happen with this great magazine that's had so much information over the years, and it's a legacy magazine. That magazine's come out once a month forever since 1980. And as you know from yesterday, we talked to Dr. Stately, and Dr. Stately, at 17 years old, was the editor of this magazine, and I've seen some old copies of it, and he did a great job. And so really looking forward to what's going to be happening with this great magazine called The Circle. And I know they get a lot of action. It's the circlenews.com if you want to look it up. People from all over the world read this and subscribe to this magazine. So there's some really important information that's coming up and will be coming up really soon. As of Monday, I do hear there's going to be a press release on this great piece of literature. Also, too, really excited. Again, I want to invite all our white allies out there, all our native kin out there, to definitely come to the powwow tomorrow. And just a second, I have to clear my throat. I'm talking too much. You guys usually aren't used to me talking because we have so many great guests over the time. And, you know, right now I'm babbling, but we have such great guests. And, you know, the 10 years that we've been on Native Roots Radio, I think that's really what's been driving this show all these years, is the great guests we have. Like today we'll have Robert Lilligren, and again, an update from Wendy Pilot about what's going on in Wisconsin with this farm and our beagles and our relatives with four legs and hooves. Again, tomorrow, May 1st, 2026 kickoff event, May 1st, American Indian Month. Parade theme is building a strong and healthy community, gathering at the Cedar Field at 10 p.m. opening prayer. Greetings and drum and speakers, and then at 10:30 a.m. a parade step off. So, and then 12 p.m. the announcement of the float contest winners, which is always really exciting. One of the things that it's gotten really competitive, and I don't know who won last year, but I know the year before Ruth Anna Buffalo's group, Minneapolis Women's Resource, Indian Resource Center, won it, and they're really proud and they want to come back to it. Hey, again, this is Native Roots Radio. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. We'll see you in a few.
Who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come. We are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Before we get our friend Dr. Stately on here, I have a 2-minute update here from Wendy I want to play before we get Dr. Stately on. And it's an update. Well, I'll just play it and everyone will understand what it is. So without any further ado, yes, I do speak French. Without any further ado, let's see if we can get Wendy playing here.
Robert, hey everyone, I have a quick update I'd like to share. I just got this on my Facebook right now. This is from WKOW.com. Dane County, Wisconsin, KOW, Riglin Farms appears to be selling nearly 1,000 of its beagles to a rescue group which seeks to offer them a new life. Big Dog Ranch Rescue and the Center for a Humane Economy said they have reached a confidential agreement with Riglin Farms to take custody of beagles housed at the Dane County facility for an undisclosed payment. More details are expected to be shared during a news conference on Thursday in Madison. Riglin Farms, located in the town of Blue Mounds, has been known as one of the largest beagle breeding facilities in the United States. Nearly 1,000 dogs, the beagles, will be coming to Big Dog Ranch Rescue's care in the near future, according to information on the organization's website. Activists traveled around the country in recent months in an effort to remove beagles from Riglin Farms that they say were being harmed. Activists were arrested in two separate incidents, one in March and another in April. I was in there. I was the one in April. Okay, I'm losing my breath. The dogs will be transported by Big Dog Ranch Rescue for medical exams, microchips, and vaccinations. Many of them will be placed with experienced rescue partners across the nation, and the list of rescue partners will be released soon, according to the Big Dog Ranch Rescue. Laura Trump, President Donald Trump's daughter-in-law, is listed as one of the Big Dog Ranch Rescue's director. Laura Lee Simmons is co-founder, CEO, and president of the organization, which is based in Florida. The organization said the beagles will require extensive medical care, rehabilitation, and daily hands-on attention as they begin their journey towards recovery. Those interested in adopting one of the beagles, once they are ready, can fill out an adoption application at Be Like Boy, D Like David, RR.org/adopt. So let's see. You know what? A lot of people will disagree with giving money to get the dogs out, but the way I see it and my personal opinion is, listen, I would pay ransom for someone I loved. And I love these beagles, and I think that it's okay to pay for them. So Laura Trump, I read an article a while back that she was offering $1 million. So that kind of makes sense if she's still doing that, $1 million and 1,000 dogs. Each of the dogs are worth about $1,000. So that brings it up to the $1 million mark. We need to get them all out, though. There's over 2,000 there. Okay, let's stay in touch and keep up to date on this progress, but I'm really happy. I'm sorry about my shortness of breath, but I ran down the stairs to do this. Anyway, thank you.
Well, hey, thanks, Wendy, for that update. I know people have been supporting Wendy's journey on this and supporting her in a big way. So that's the update that just came in roughly a half hour ago. Hey, let's bring our friend Dr. Stately on. And Dr. Stately is the CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in Minneapolis in the Twin Cities. And welcome, Dr. Stately. Wow, I was on Franklin Avenue today and the clinic is looking great.
I know, it's got a lot of the facade is out. The external part of it's actually looking like a building, not just a bunch of like pylons and other things. So it's exciting stuff.
Definitely. So one of the things that is interesting to me about you is, weren't you at 17 years old the editor of the Circle magazine? Do I remember that right?
Yeah, I was. Well, I started first as an intern, so I was in my second year of school at McAllister College, which is where I was getting a bachelor's majoring in English and getting a minor in journalism.
Wow.
And so in that second year of my year at McAllister, I got a internship at the Circle for part of that education. And then I was, I think it was probably, I was there for about 6 months, and then the existing editor, she left. And then I took over as editor after she left, and I was around 17, 18 years old.
So was that 1980? Because I think that's when you were about seven, because that's when the magazine came out.
Yeah, in 80. So like before, it did, like back then the Circle newspaper looked like a newspaper, more like a newspaper, or it transformed into a newspaper style sort of thing. It was a newsletter before that when I first sort of got there. It was more, and then the year that I and Sandy King were there, Sandy was the editor for a while, and I was an intern, and then when she left, can't remember exactly. I mean, there was like it was a really long time ago. So like I'm 60 some years old now. So like, you know, it was like at least a good 40 years ago, not longer. And I think one of the things that was challenging for me in that situation was they were like, they needed to have, they couldn't find somebody to be the editor right away. But I had been like, you know, studying for 2 years already at that point in time. And, you know, I had the whole process of putting the paper together, and I had a really great person by my side who was like our assistant. She's no longer with us. Her name is Teresa. And then I also, oddly enough, this is how strange things are sometimes in your life. So my current number two, Greg Harrison, his partner, Adam, you know, Adam Fairbanks, his aunt was also worked with me at the Circle during that same period of time. So it's kind of funny. Like we get to share stories. It's kind of funny, you know? But like we were all young, you know, but it was like, it was, you know, it's a different newspaper now. It actually looks like a newspaper, right? You know, one of the things I did, I remember this was a really like clear memory I'd had. I worked with there was a guy that ran a newspaper in Lac des Flambeaux. I can't remember his name either, but he was a really he was part of this national Native journalism program, and we had ran into each other, and he recruited me to be a part of that association, or that journalism association. And I got to go to a conference in Spokane, and I met a lot of other journalists that were Native working in other, you know, it was kind of like it was a really cool part of my early, you know, adulthood. I got to go hang out with these other people who were doing some really interesting things. And I learned a lot in that process, and I came back to the from that conference, and I started having conversations with the executive director of the Indian Center at that time, who I think her name was Mary Beth something, and she and I had differences in the way that we saw the functioning of the Circle newspaper. Mm-hmm. At the time, I was sort of like managing it as an editor. It functioned as primarily a promotional sort of like thing for the work that the Indian Center was doing, and you know, and it had some community engagement, community involvement, things like that. I wanted to turn it into a newspaper, not just have mm-hmm. it be a newsletter for the Indian Center, and we had some challenges in those conversations, her and I, and I threatened to leave if she didn't do it. And then I went before the board, and the board, my mom was on the board at the time, so she wasn't able to vote on that initiative, but she did support me in that initiative. And she's, you know, so I was talking about, like, you know, the importance of independent journalism and how important that was in our community at that point in time. And then right after that, my mom was like, I want you to be the campaign manager for Karen Clark. She's running for representative in this district, and she needs the American Indian vote to do that. And since you run the newspaper, like you can do. And I said, well, and then I had this argument with my mom. I was like, well, I can't, you know, I have to be independent. The newspaper, right. You know.
Oh my god!
Little did I know the benefits of being like a more Trumpian administration. You know, way back then, I could have, you know, sure, give me money and I'll do whatever. But well, it was an interesting time in my life, because I learned a lot in the process, and I was.
Well,
I was her campaign manager, and she won the seat that year. She won the Native American vote.
Well, you definitely should have a book. The Circle hasn't been in circulation since February, and there's big news coming Monday. It's being taken over by somebody that hopefully knows what they're doing, and we'll talk more about that some other time. But hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and up next we're going to have Dr. Stately talk more about his past, I guess. Ho-wah. we'll be right back. Just the good parts of your past.
Are you planning your next painting project or finally tackling that kitchen deep clean? Before you head to the store to pick out a paint color or get extra cleaning supplies, check out the reuse room at the Ramsey County Environmental Center. You can find gently used products like paint, cleaning products, and even automotive products, all for free. Visit RamseyRecycles.com/EC. To learn more and get directions, that's RamseyRecycles.com/EC.
Yeah.
Aho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and we are with our friend, Dr. Stately, CEO and President of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota, Minneapolis. New building coming up, a lot of things happening. Really interesting to hear your background, and I appreciate you talking about that because, we talk to our young ones that it's not a straight trajectory. There's a lot of peaks and valleys and things like that. And I imagine too, especially with the Gen Zs and newer, younger people, it's even going to be more of a zigzag.
Yeah. I can imagine it's like, I'm in the process right now of trying to launch my 18-year-olds. They're going to be 19 here in a month. And, you know, I was just talking to somebody the other day about this. I was like, launching my 18-year-olds into adult life, just getting them to a little place where they can do a little bit of adulting is like harder. It is literally has been one of the most hardest parts of my, one of my hardest jobs. I was joking and telling somebody, I was like, this feels harder than actually raising the money for that building. Because I got to a point where the building was this project, and it became like, it gained some momentum, right? And it just sort of like, started kind of like just getting a lot of attention, and that brought the resources, right? And everybody wanted to be part of that process. But like, trying to get my kids off the couch and out the door and doing something like outside of like their, that doesn't involve being on social media all day or being on the game system or watching TV or just laying like lettuce on the couch, it's like
well,
it's been like a challenge.
It's interesting though, and you gotta really take a deep breath, because it's been the upside down world for these young ones for the last 10 years. I can't even imagine being brought up that way. I mean, we had the Vietnam War as younger people, but we weren't old enough to get drafted. But then Reagan became president and all heck was breaking loose when it came to a lot of weird stuff,
nothing like we're going through now. My son was working on our project for about 3 or 4 weeks, and then the ice surge happened, and Renee Good was killed on January 7th, which is a Wednesday, and then the next couple days they were out here on Franklin Avenue pulling people, out of their cars and off the street, and just taking people's indigenous, their tribal IDs and like ripping them in half on the street, and just like, people just, and I was like, and my son who was working in the project and could see all that activity happening across from us, and he came over to my office and then came over for lunch and then didn't go back after lunch. And then after that, he didn't want to go back for a while. He was anxious about like the whole ice activity and the surge, right? And I was like, okay, just take a couple of weeks and two or three weeks and just kind of take a rest and see what happens. And then after that, he didn't want to come back at all. And he was like, that's not what I want to do. And I was just thinking about I was trying to compare that to sort of some of the things that I was going through when I was 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. And certainly there was a lot of, those things happening too. Nothing on that scale though, right? And the Twin Cities here in the 70s and early 80s was just a different, we were certainly fighting a lot of the same kinds of structural things, structural racism, bigotry, police violence, those kinds of things, but it looked differently, right? Yeah. And our community also wasn't struggling with some of these other conditions. And so part of that was, I realized this, and at one point in time, my sons overheard me talking to somebody on the phone, and I said, I can't imagine being a young person, and I don't know that if I was the young person I was back in 1976, 77, 78, that I would have the skills or the capacity to sort of manage what was going on right now. It's kind of hard for me to imagine doing that. And so I was saying to them, like, I think that they have it harder than us in so many ways. They have it harder.
Oh, I know I didn't have the skills. I'll tell you that right now to deal with what they're dealing with now. Not at all. We were still, like, you know, still watching reruns to Leave It to Beaver, you know, and F Troop and all those racist shows, you know.
Leave It to Beaver. I actually watched that a couple weeks ago. I don't know why. I saw it come across one of my streaming things, and I was like, oh, I haven't seen the old Beaver in quite a while. And I watched I was laughing. I was like, this is a I can't believe I watched, spent all the hours of my early life I spent wasted on that ridiculous show.
Or you know, Wendy and I take a long walk when we're in New York City. We walk everywhere, and then the next day we're old people, so we have to, you know, rest. And I've watched Time Tunnel and Outer Space, and, you know, of course the Twilight Zone, but Time Tunnel, that was a go-to.
Oh my Lord, yeah. I probably waste too much of my time when I get home from work and my brain's fried. I just watch ridiculous, I stream ridiculous shows.
Yeah.
Like I was at work a couple weeks ago and people were talking about all the things they've been streaming and talking about really interesting things. I was like, they're like, what are you watching? I'm like, I'm on season 7 of Virgin River. They're like, what's that? I said, dribble, but it's like, you know.
Well, you got
to. I don't have to do a lot of thinking.
You know, our friend Arvina Martin, we talk about our mental health, and sometimes what she needs to do at night is watch The Golden Girls. And you know what? That show still holds up to this day.
I know. Yeah, I do. Like, sometimes I watch a Golden Girls episode, or my partner likes to watch Archie Bunker. You know,
All in the Family.
All in the Family. And oh my God, I gotta tell you, like, sometimes I'm like, okay, I can take two episodes. Okay, I can take two episodes, and after that, I gotta, like, you know, either use your earbuds or go somewhere else, because I just cannot.
Well,
I was like, he's basically in the White House now.
Exactly. 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 And I don't know, I think Archie might have had a few more brain cells than what's happening right now, because this is totally ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and he also had Edith, who was lovely. Well, yeah. Trump isn't really all that interesting. So.
Wow, we're really regressing it. Is we're like
I know, we're just being terrible human beings. I'm so sorry, anyway.
No. No, this is good radio. Everybody loves to hear you. So when has the date changed to the opening of the new clinic? I mean, that's just a massive place. It's going to be just a go-to place.
No, it hasn't changed. I mean, we don't have an actual date yet established. We expect it to open the first week in September, because we're ahead of schedule for some things. We're going to have one of our first, so we haven't even announced this yet, but we're planning now to have like a hard hat tour with, you know, some dignitaries and officials, you know, government officials, and some people who invested in the in the building. They get to see, because now, you know, now we're not just a core and a shell. Now the housing has walls, it has doors, it's got, you know, some things in it already now, so they look like actual apartments. And then we also have a lot of the structural stuff going in, you know, in the clinic part of it. Like, you can walk through the clinic and see, like, oh, this is, you know, these are the walls, and this is where the dental clinic's gonna be. Oh, this is, you know, it's, you know, there's a lot to still do internally for the finishing, for it to be ready, but, you know, you structurally can start to see everything, which is a lot different than the last time we took a tour of it, which was just, you know, it was just the outside of the building and the big, huge open space inside. So we're going to do that sometime next month, and then, you know, do a couple of other events, but we won't have an opening for the community until sometime in the fall.
So we got Indian Month coming here, and I can't believe it's a couple days. The first is Friday. What is the clinic got cooking? Do we have anything going on, or are you guys just really balls to the walls with the new building?
We're just like we didn't have an open house event last year either, because we usually have that event in our parking lot, and so we haven't had a parking lot because we're building a building in it, and we're still not in a place where we can do that. We will do something in the fall. We have a fall event called the Fall Harvest Fest, where we sort of like harvest and get all of our traditional plant medicines that we grow locally here. We won't have any of those this year that we grew because we don't have a site to grow them on, but we will still have some medicines that we have for the community. Dream of Wild Health will provide some fresh vegetables and food for the community, and they're one of the partners that have been part of that Harvest Fest every single year. They'll be the only one that's there because we won't have the space to host all the other like 15, 20 people who participate usually in that. So we'll still be building the parking lot then. And we're going to tear down this existing building after the new one opens. But wow. It takes about 6 weeks to build the parking lot, which we want to get accomplished before the winter. And so we'll do something like that. And then we're planning to do things like have small tours for groups of 20 or 25 people. Like each department might take a little bit of a part of a day to sort of give people tours of their department. In the first couple of weeks of like moving in there, we'll see some patients. We expect it to be challenging for patients to get here. We're trying to figure out some things for helping patients to sort of navigate like limited access to the back part of the thing, because we'll be building the parking lot. So we have some strategies coming up on that, but we're going to do things like, give people, our staff are going to have to learn how to navigate that space. It's twice as many as we do now, right? So,
yeah.
Like, you can get lost in closets and hallways and stuff. So
I can't wait.
Like that first couple of weeks is going to be like, that's just navigating.
I can't wait. Dr. Stately, thanks for coming on. I know this isn't normally your day, and I appreciate you stopping in for a couple segments and, reminiscing about the circle and also the future with the Native American Community Clinic.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate it. It's always good to spend time with you.
Right on. We'll talk to you soon. Oh, wow. We'll be right back. Native Roots Radio.
Listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Bobby Wilson. Wee-cha.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, we are with our friend Natalie. And Natalie, do you want to introduce yourself? Ho-wa.
Yeah, of course, Robert. So, Buju, Natalie Njinakaz, Jawanang Anakwaduk Indigo, Gichi Onagaming Indonjaba. I think that's all. I'm trying to remember all of my Ojibwe introductions. I've been taking an Ojibwe class this semester, so we're recording early because of that. And so Robert is awesome and put me on the spot and having me introduce myself on Ojibwe. So
that's right. Hey, that's good too. And it's fun too because It's the magic of radio. Nobody knows we're pre-recording this. So,
that's true. I just gave the secret away.
Yes. No, but it's good to get in touch with you because you are busy. And I always ask you to come on your busy day, which is, I don't know, I guess I'm consistent. You can say that, but a lot going on. Let's get to it, Natalie, and talk a little bit about Minneapolis American Indian Center, where you work in your Grand Portage Ojibwe.
That's what I forgot in my introduction. Yeah, Grand Portage Ojibwe, and I'm at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. And we have our big American Indian Month kickoff powwow this Friday, May 1st. There'll be the parade over at Cedar Field, over at Little Earth. That'll kick things off at 10 a.m. And the parade will be through the neighborhood, and it'll end there. There'll be lunch provided. But then that night, we're having a big party over here at the Indian Center. So doors open at 4. We'll have food trucks in the parking lot. Gatherings Cafe is open till 8, which I'm really excited about. They're having a special menu with bison hot dogs, barbecue turkey sliders, and bison kebabs. So, yeah, we're getting real fun with it, and we're open late. Cafe's open till 8. And then we also got our Boys and Girls Club doing concessions. So they're selling regular hot dogs and chips and all the usual stuff. Doors open at 4, got our open house, and then grand entry for our powwows at 6. So it'll be a really fun start to American Indian Month here in the community.
Yeah, right on. And talk a little bit about where we are. We're in Minneapolis and the Native Corridor on Franklin Avenue that has so much rich history. It's fun. I was there today and just seeing all the people that come in and out of there. It's always the who's who of what's happening. And, talk a little bit about what else goes on there, because we do touch base every couple of weeks. But I think, you know, I always have new listeners. So it's good to recap what, 50 years of serving the community in Minneapolis American Indian Center.
Yeah, so the Minneapolis American Indian Center, we're right on Franklin Avenue, which is considered the American Indian Cultural Corridor here in South Minneapolis. The whole avenue is full of Native orgs and businesses, and it's really just a hub of art and activity and community. And as you said, I mean, it's the place to be. If, like, you and I were chatting and people kept walking by earlier, it's the place that, I don't know, it's where you run into people, our big reunion spot. We've been here for 50 years right here on the Ave. And we provide a bunch of different services, like social services, education, employment, elder support. We've got youth programming. We have an art gallery, Gatherings Cafe, which serves indigenous food. Just a whole bunch of different things that we do. And if we don't have the services that someone needs, it's like we can direct people with where to go. So we're really kind of the heart of the community. And when people move here, especially from reservations and stuff, and they're new to the city, this is where you come to figure out where you can get resources, where you can connect, where you can find community. And we're really here to help direct people with where to go. And even if you're not Native, I mean, we're a hub of culture and we're open to anybody. So if anyone's curious and has never been to a powwow before, our powwows are open to anyone. We ask that people be respectful and ask before taking pictures and really show up in a good way. But, you know, vendors open to anybody, buy merch, support Native businesses, support our restaurant, try bison, try wild rice. We're really just a place to come and connect and learn about, engage with our culture, and be in community together. So, yeah, we're located 1530 East Franklin Avenue, if anyone hasn't been before.
It's really cool. People come in and fly in and out of there. They do things. There's rooms to really professional rooms upstairs and downstairs to rent. I know, you have things happening at night. We didn't touch on the workout center, but I mean, I've been there witnessing pickleball, and the youth will be learning drum and dance and things like that, and a lot going on. So come in, and I know in the Twin Cities, especially Minneapolis, that there's 75,000 Native Americans in the city, and over 111 different tribes. So come on in and find out where your people are.
Yeah, it's definitely the place to be. And yeah, I think it's amazing just how many people are here. I mean, this Friday for the powwow, there'll be at least 1,000. Mm-hmm. Like, we usually get really good turnout. So,
yeah, well, I'm excited to kick off Native American month here in Minnesota. There's other things going on, but again, just lightly talk about and how people can find out about the schedule at the American Indian Center, Minneapolis American Indian Center on Franklin Avenue. I know you have something to do with the updates, so tell people where they can get these updates.
Yeah, so every day we got a ton of stuff happening. It's actually, my job's really fun trying to keep up with everything because we just have so much going on. But every Monday we post a schedule on our Facebook and our Instagram, so Minneapolis American Indian Center. We also have a calendar on our website, maicnet.org. But I think social media is probably the best place to go just because we have so many external groups that come in. We rent out our spaces, so if anyone wants to have a meeting in the Native community, wants to have an event, wants to reach people here on the Ave, we're a great space to do it. And so every day we'll have our own programming going on. We have our fitness center. We have sports and activities, like you said, Robert, pickleball and basketball. But we'll also have groups come in. I know Metro Transit was getting feedback. They're doing a big renovation on the light rail station over here, so they've been having meetings here at the center just to reach community members and get feedback on what people are looking for and how the light rail station can better serve the people here utilizing it. So yeah, lots of different stuff going on. Every day looks completely different. It's never boring, but yeah, I'd recommend checking out our social media just to keep updated on what's happening each week.
Absolutely. Hey, we got about a minute left. I want to quiz you on what famous celebrity since the reopening have you seen show up at Indian Center?
Oh my goodness, that's a good question. We had Adam Beach, Smoke Signals was here. We had Bobby Wilson, he did your show when he was here for our 50th anniversary gala. Dallas Goldtooth comes by every once in a while when he's in town. Who else have I seen? Yeah, it's like the place to be. I think we had one of my newsletters that we sent out like a couple months ago was like, here's all the celebrities who visited the Indian Center in the last month. And it was pretty good. We've had a lot of people stop by. So you never know who you're going to see when you're at the Indian Center.
Yeah, definitely. And again, I stopped in today and had some awesome food at the gatherings. I had the soup, the bison soup, and a vegetable bison soup. And then I also have my standard, my walleye sandwich with chips and a little salsa. So I was all set.
We're getting close to dinner time. I'm like getting hungry just hearing you talk about it.
Well, you were talking about those bison hot dogs. I'm going to have to check that out. One more time, how people can find out about you and what's going on at the Indian Center. Oh.
Yeah, follow the Minneapolis American Indian Center on social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, and we also have a website, maicnet.org. So yeah, give us a follow and see what's going on here.
Wow, Natalie, thanks for stopping in live on Native Roots Radio. Just kidding.
Thanks for having me, Robert.
Right on. Hey, we'll see you soon. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on, it's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote. Hey, and go.
When you're ready to let go of that car you no longer need, KFAI is ready for you. Our vehicle donation program is available 7 days a week to help you arrange for your free pickup. It's easy, it's free, and it matters. Donate at kfai.careasy.org or call 855-277-2346.
Hi, it's Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations throughout Turtle Island. Say no to the hunts.
Oh! Oh.
Ah.
Hey, this is the last segment of Native Roots Radio, and bringing Wendy on here. I don't know what you were doing, but I know you were going to come on the show later. Were you preparing a meal for us tonight?
I wasn't going to prepare a meal for us tonight.
Oh, that's fun. Gosh. Well, hey, let's revert back to talking about our sacred animals. And I just want to say, too, dogs are so important to Native Americans, their spirits. There's many things. Of course, all four-legged animals, but the spirits, and it's fun seeing old photos of Native Americans in front of their chipotles or teepees with an old raggedy-looking dog. They've been in a lot of our spiritual leaders. Like I got a chance to meet Crow Dog. We're named after dogs in a sense. So very powerful. They carry a lot of spirits. And as you know, with the dogs that we've had over the years, their family, their people, their beings, and they're very sacred. And I'm glad that we're talking about them today.
Yeah. Wayne. And, you know, Jane Goodall, she always said, like, she was with the chimpanzees, you know, in Tanzania. That was her life's work. And often people would say, so, Jane, what's your first animal? And she would say, you know, most people think my favorite animal is a chimpanzee because I spend all the time. But it's not. My favorite dog, my favorite animal is a dog because they're so loyal and they trusting and they're just, you know, beautiful animals. And she said the chimpanzees are more like us. You know, there's some really mean chimpanzees, just like there's really mean people. And, you know, the chimpanzees are too much like humans. So dogs are my favorites. So.
I know our sacred dogs that we've had over the years, and we just have Wanda now, and she's kind of getting up there in years.
Yeah.
She's never asked me to put the toilet seat up or down. So I just want to.
Good for her.
She's not judging me. And
it's much better to live with a dog than a person, I'd say. Definitely. I agree with that.
Oh, wow. I didn't say that.
So, where do you find a dog's sweat glands?
In his tongue or her tongue.
On its paws.
Oh.
Yeah. So, it's sweat. Geez. Their sweat glands are on their paws. So, if you're out on a hot day and the cement is hot, you have to put the back of your hand on the pavement to see how hot it is, and if it's too hot and you can't put the back of your hand on the pavement for more than 5 seconds, don't let your dogs go on there.
Of course, after you said that, I knew that.
Yeah, and then if they ever get like heat stroke or anything, wrap cool towels around their paws to cool their paws down. Yeah. Wow. How high can a penguin jump?
3 feet.
A penguin can jump about 9 feet.
What?
I know. That seems crazy to me. I need to see
like
a video.
Like a lateral jump?
I don't know.
Or jump off a 9-foot cliff.
No. How high can a penguin jump? About 9 feet.
Wow.
I know. So a horsefly, how long on average do you think the horsefly can live?
I heard it was a short time, so I'm going to say 15 days.
Close, 28 days.
I was going to say 30, but I switched it up to 15.
That's all they live. Yeah, I know. Well, what's the best way you could tell a crocodile apart from an alligator? A lot of people can't tell the difference between, but this is the...
Their tail.
No, you know what? It's their snouts.
Oh.
So a crocodile is more pointed, and an alligator is wider and a more U-shaped.
See you later, alligator.
So the crocodile is pointy.
See you later, alligator.
And the alligator
after a while,
is round.
Crocodile.
Exactly. I know. Which mammal lacks vocal cords? You know, so we like, you know, with our grandkids, we're like, what does the pig say? What does the giraffe say? You know, what does this animal say? What does that animal?
Moo.
But which mammal lacks vocal cords?
A whale.
A giraffe.
Oh.
Yeah, a giraffe doesn't say anything.
Oh.
So a tiger says stuff, the zebra says stuff, an elephant says sounds, but a giraffe doesn't make any sounds.
That was a good one. This is very educational.
It is very educational. Now, this is for children and adults, these questions. How many times per second does a woodpecker peck? We see woodpeckers out in our yard and sometimes on the pole out there, they're out there. So how many times per second, in a second, how many times does a woodpecker peck?
I'd say 100.
20.
120?
No, 20.
I know.
20. 20 times per second. That's how fast. They have something also in their brain so their brain doesn't beat up against the inside of their head.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what it lubricant. Is? It's like their tongue goes all the way around to the back of their head and it coats over their brain so that when they're hitting that wood so hard, their brain doesn't get. Yeah.
Yeah. No concussions, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
You would think.
While mating, which distinctive shape do dragonfly tails make? I didn't know. So a dragonfly's tail changes and makes a shape while mating. What's the shape?
A question mark.
A heart.
Hey, really?
Yeah.
That's great.
What do you call a baby goat?
A goatlet?
A baby goat.
A goatlet?
Oh, a kid.
Oh, duh.
You know
I should have knew that.
I thought you were going to get that one.
Yeah. Getting old.
Okay, so a house, you might get this because you're a musical kind of guy. A housefly hums in a specific musical key. Which is it? A housefly hums.
B flat?
F.
Oh.
Yeah. I know. This is a hard one. I wouldn't know this. I don't never think we talked about hedgehogs at all. What's the word for a group of hedgehogs? And they have a funny name.
Jeez. How would I know this one?
I know. I didn't
what
know
is
this.
It?
It's a prickle. Don't hedgehogs have like the pricks are on them? Am I thinking of the right animal?
I think you're thinking about a pickle.
Oh, it's a prickle.
Shoot.
Which sea creature can regrow its arms?
Sea creature?
Yeah.
Grow their arms? Octopus?
Oh, that's close. I would have said that, but it's actually a starfish.
Oh.
Yeah, a starfish can regrow its arms.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, how long can a camel survive without any water?
24 days?
More than a week. More than a week. So.
I know. That's camels were like a icon for people in recovery. That if a camel can go without drinking for 24 hours, so can you.
Mm.
Yeah, just a little trivia there.
That's a little. Which modern-day animal is most closely related to a T-Rex?
A rhinoceros?
Which modern-day animal is most...
Oh, rhino is a modern-day animal?
A T-Rex. That's like the dinosaur T-Rex.
Right.
It's a chicken. Chicken, yes. A chicken is the modern-day animal that is most closely related to a T-Rex.
Our grandbaby can say chicken really well.
She does. She could sign it, too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, we got about a minute left here. Give us a good
see.
One.
All right. How many bones can you find inside a shark?
Oh, bones. Jeez.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a... What is it?
Zero.
What?
No bones in a shark.
I don't know what to say.
I know. Okay, how many types of ladybugs are there? There's a lot of types of ladybugs. That's all I have to say.
Right on. Hey.
5,000.
Hey, R. Charles, thank you. He said, oh, my God, Robert, goatlets forever.
That's a new species of baby goats.
Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on, it's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join our group, run for office, and vote, and get those beagles out.
That's right.
We're still here. We are the seventh generation. See you tomorrow. Happy tomorrow will be the beginning of Native American Indian Month here in Minnesota.
Nice.
Yes. Peenigie again for listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Halusa Nation. We have been called the Indians. We have been called Native American. We have been called hostile. We have been called pagan. We have been called militant. We have been called many names. We are the Halusa Nation. We are the human beings. The callers of names cannot see us. but we can see them.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic?
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.